Good morning. Good to have everybody with us on this beautiful Lord's Day. This winter is brutal again for all of us Floridians, but we're good to have everybody with us. A lot of visitors, and we appreciate you coming to be with us. Hope that you will take a moment and fill out a visitor's card so that we may have a record of your attendance. Today is a special day because it is a day that we can gather together and worship the Lord who made all of us. This morning we wanted to present a lesson. It's an illustration that I've used before, but I made it a lesson out of it this time, is to talk about the word up and what the word up means. This two-letter word in English has more meanings than any other two-letter word, and it is listed in the dictionary as an adjective, as a preposition, an adverb, a noun, and a verb. Trust me, I have no idea what that means. I just read that somewhere. It is easy to understand up, meaning toward the sky or at the top of the list, but when we awaken in the morning, why do we wake up? At a meeting, why does a topic come up? Why do we speak up? And why are the officers up for election? And why is up to the secretary to write up a report? We call up our friends, brighten up a room, polish up the silver, warm up the leftovers, and clean up the kitchen. We lock up the house and fix up the old car. At other times, this little word has real special meaning. People stir up trouble. They line up for tickets. They work up an appetite, and they think up excuses. To be dressed is one thing, but to be dressed up is a totally different thing. And this up is confusing. A drain must be opened up because it is stopped up. We open up a store in the morning, but we close it up at night. We seem to be pretty mixed up about up. To be knowledgeable about the proper uses of up, look up the word in the dictionary, in a desk-sized dictionary. That's a book that's got pages and words on it for our young people. It takes up almost half of, almost a quarter of the page, and you can add up to about 30 definitions. If you were up to it, you might try building up a list of the many ways up is used. It'll take up a lot of your time. But if you don't give up, you may wind up with 100 or more. When it threatens to rain, this is going to go on for a while. I hope you've got time. We say it is clouding up. When the sun comes out, we say it is clearing up. When it rains, it soaks up the earth. When it does not rain for a while, things dry up. My favorite movie in the whole world is Up, which used to be up on the screen, but now it's apparently at nighttime. What am I to think about this little word up? From a biblical perspective, there is an upshot to this whole discussion. There are five books in the Bible, six if you discount the American Standard Version, that doesn't even use the word up at all. That means the 60 books of the Bible use the word up, and Isaiah the prophet had more to say about the word up than anyone. He was really on top of the up word. In the New Testament, Luke liked the word up more than any other writers. His book could be the Acts of the Ups, is where that is. And according to What is Up, the American Standard Version is the most correct version because it uses the word 2,271 times. Do not be impressed. More than any translation, they just cannot keep up. And if you have kept up, I want to share with you a very important message about the word up. In the book of Colossians, in the third chapter. Oh, I did that, not ma'am. How did I do that? In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1, we want to spend some time in this passage because it talks about up. That is on page 1354 of your pew Bible, if you'd like to turn in your pew Bibles and read along with us as we share the first few verses of this great book to the church at Colossae. Paul says in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1, "Then if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory." What Paul wants us to think about in this great book of Colossians is that he wants to think about the things that are above. He wants us to think about the things that are up. I suspect that one of the problems that we have in life is that we look too much down to the things of this earth and we kind of get depressed. I like what Abraham Lincoln said one time when he noted that he could understand probably why some people didn't believe in God and looked around the world and all the agony and the misery and the suffering and like that. He said, I cannot imagine how anybody could look into the heavens and not believe that there is a God. And I think that sometimes that we may in our own lives become so filled with the things around us that, you know, we don't stop and look up at the sky. We don't stop and look up at the stars. Maybe because we are confining ourselves to our houses. Maybe because we are walking around like this all the time with our cell phones and our media, and we never look up until we run into the fence or something else. But we need to spend time thinking about things that are above. His admonition is a very simple thing, that in our lives, we need to get above the world in which we live. We need to think about the things that are above. We need to set our minds on things that are above. And the exhortation that he is giving here in just these few verses is to think about what we think about, to consider what we consider, to find a placement for our lives and to think about where we're going to be looking and focusing. Because the reality of it is that we generally go where we're going to be looking at. And so we're going to talk this morning about looking up and about thinking up and about trying to be that kind of person. Because he does say that we have been raised up with Christ. And the reason that we were raised up in Christ is because we obeyed the gospel and we were buried with him. And so that makes us kind of up people. We could talk about being a people. We are risen people. You see, that's who defines us about being a child of God, is that we are people that have been risen up, and that he tells us that we need to be seeking the things that are up, the things that are above. Where Christ ascended, what did he do in Acts chapter 1? He ascended up into heaven to be with his Father. And whenever we talk about the things that are having to do with heaven, we think of the things that are up. And Paul is just simply saying that I want you to think about where the Lord is. Don't think about the things of this world. But think about Jesus Christ and the things of where he is, because he went up so that we could live lives full of looking up, of thinking up, of living up, and being up. And Paul is showing a practical application of our new life in Christ. Because we are called to seek heavenly things. We are called as a special people to be filled with the upness. I'm going to use that word a lot, and I'll probably make a few words up as we go along. But we are to be people that are filled with the upness of the glory of God and the things that are looking above and the realization that one day we're going to go there. In verse 1, he says that if then you were raised with Christ. You see, that's who we are. We are raised people. We are people that have shown a different view of life. We are people that are raised. If you go down to verse 12, he says that therefore is the elect of God. You see, we are here for a special purpose. We are here as the people of God to live a more full life, to live a life that is focused upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And that happened, you can leave your marker there at Colossians chapter 3. We'll be coming back to that in just a moment. But over in the book of Romans, in the 6th chapter, and in verse 1, we realize that the very first thing that we do when we obey the gospel of Jesus Christ is we are risen up. We are brought up out of the water. He says in verse 1, what shall I say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we also who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Notice verse 4, therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. Talk a little bit more about that tonight. Tonight we're going to learn how to walk. But you see, when we obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, when we come up out of the water, we not only are raised physically out of the waters of baptism, but we are raised in a new life. And that means that it should be as no great surprise that we are people that are living as resurrected people. We are living because we have been brought up and we have been lifted up and we have been shown by the grace of God that we are to walk at a different level. We walk in a different plane. We walk in a different attitude and all those kinds because we have been raised up. Literally, we were raised up. But in the figure of the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we've been raised up. What would it have been like if they crucified Jesus and they put him in a tomb? What if that was all there was? What if that was the end of the story? What hope and what glory would there be for you and I that, well, they killed him, and that was wrong, and then they put him in the tomb, and boy, that was all there was, and he didn't raise on the third day. You know, one of the things that the early church understood and that we have to see is that the whole idea of our salvation has to do with the fact that Jesus raised up, and that he is not only raised up, he is still up. You see, the thing is that Jesus' resurrection was not the first resurrection that ever happened. As a matter of fact, Abraham believed in resurrection. Remember when he took his son to go kill him and he said, we're going to go up and come back? He believed in resurrection. But Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. He raised the widow of son, the widow of Nain's son from the dead. So resurrection was not the necessarily ideal of that. The exception of Jesus was the fact that he was the Son of God and that he died on the cross. He had committed no sins. But there had been people that resurrected. But the thing that made the difference about Jesus' resurrection is that he is still up. He's still there. And he didn't die again. Lazarus died again. The widow of Nain's son died again. Dorcas died again. All those that were raised following the resurrection of Jesus, they all died again. Jesus is not. Why? Because he is still there. He is still at the right hand of God. And so what he wants us to do is he wants us to remember that's where our focus is. That's where we're looking. That's where we want to be. We want to live lives that are looking to the glory of Jesus Christ. And we are to seek, what does he say here in our chapter, back in Colossians chapter 3, in verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ, that's us, well then seek the things that are above. Don't seek the things that are down here. We seek the things that are above where Christ is. He is the one that we look to. We seek the things that are above. We seek the presence of God. We seek the Holy Spirit. We seek a God-like character. I want to be like God. You know, sometimes maybe we're young and we look up to somebody. We want to grow up and I want to be just like them. And we look up to them. What does that mean that we look up to them? Well, we want to admire them. We want to mold our character in them. You know, we want to be like them in every way. And so we look in our image of God and we say that I want to be like God every day. I want to be like Christ and I'm going to keep my mind and I'm going to keep my actions. I'm going to keep everything about my life in the imagery of Jesus Christ. He says, seek the things that are above. Seek those things that are going to bring us to the cross of Jesus. Again, we go back to the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 6 and verse 19, page 1117. And we find that Jesus himself said, in the Sermon on the Mount about where we are, who we are. Now this is a defining moment in the character of who we are. When he says that do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. You know, there's only two ways to look. We either look up or down. And we either look up to the things that have to do with God or we look down to the things of the world. Now the things of this world or the treasures, they really are not going to be that important. The things that we're going to lose, they're going to break, they're going to just be destroyed, they're going to rust, thieves are going to come and break in, hopefully not right now. But, you know, all these things, and you think about all the treasures of this world, what good are they? Jesus says, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on the earth because these things decay. These things are nothing. And sadly, we spend a lot of our time. We spend a lot of our energies. We spend a large portion of our lives doing what? Gathering more stuff. And you have to put it in the attic. And you have to put it in boxes. And you have to rent, you know, storage places. And we've got all this stuff. And then we die. And a U-Haul does not follow behind a hearse. We don't take it with us. The Egyptians have taught us that they left everything and they left all the good stuff. And I'm going to tell you, we have to, you know, realize that the treasures of this world are not worth what we put. And what Jesus says is that we need to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven. We need to get our hearts upon the eternal things and think about the things that are above. That's what Paul is saying. Seek the things, literally be seeking the things that are above. You generally find what you seek. That's deep. You might want to write that down. If you're looking for something, if that is the desire and focus in your life, you're going to find it. And sometimes the reason that we don't have happiness and peace in our life is because we don't have God. We try to have happiness and peace without God, and that's because you're trying to find happiness apart from God. You can't do that. The only way that you can find happiness and peace is you've got to have God. And that means you've got to seek the things that are above. Because where our treasure is, yeah, that's where it's going to be. Whatever is important in our life, and that's all Paul is saying, is that I want you to seek the things that are above. Well, how do we do that? Well, again, back in our text, he tells us what we are to do. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. For you died. You know, you obeyed the gospel, you became a child of God, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. You see, Christ is our focus. We go in the direction we're focused on. And one of the keys to our lives as Christians is we've got to live for Jesus. Now, they made sort of a big deal about this, but and actually there's probably people here that may not even know what this is. This is scary when you get this old. You remember WWJD? I hate these acronym things. You know, what would Jesus do? You know, they made a marketing thing out of it, but it was true. I mean, you think about what would Jesus do? And when we go through life and we're trying to make decisions and we're trying to decide what to do here and how to do this, the reality of it is we've got to think in tune with Jesus Christ. We seek those things that are above. And what he tells us is that when we died and our life is hidden with Christ. Did you get that? We're hidden with Christ. Matter of fact, you can't even tell who we are because our life is hidden with Christ. And what that means is that we're going to do and follow everything. He is going to be our focus. He is going to be what we look at. He's going to be the person that we're going to seek after because He is our Lord and Savior. I tell you, that's how we bring happiness to our lives, is that we keep our eyes on Jesus. Because if we keep our eyes on Jesus, where's He? And if we keep walking after Jesus, we're going to go where He's at, and He is in heaven. You see, the challenge is Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. Out of the heart flow the issues of life. You know, it's sort of a negative positive here. In Matthew chapter 12, Jesus tells us that the things that come out of us, the things of who we are, what makes our character, what makes our personality, what makes us the kind of person that we are. In Matthew 12 and verse 35, he says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. Do you know where corn comes from? Corn. I stayed at a Holiday Inn once. I know about corn. Do you know where apples come from? They come from apple trees. You know, that's silly. Well, why? If you plant corn in the ground, you're going to, you know, it's going to produce corn. What we get out of our heart, what we get in our life and who we are, how people think of us and what we, it comes out of our heart. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart, that's where good things come from. Good things come from good people. Godliness comes from godly people. It is a product of the seed that is planted in the heart, and the kind of person that we are is defined by the kind of heart that we have. And that's just, that is an absolute. Good things come out of a good heart. And we have to increase and to seek those things that are above so that we can focus upon Jesus. And I'll tell you, if you keep your eyes on Jesus, and if that's the only, if you keep looking at Him and you're focusing on Him, guess what? That's all you're going to see. And everything is going to be tended by what Jesus sees. Not by the things of this world. Another passage in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 19, again, sort of the negative positive here. He tells us that those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts and murders and adulteries and fornications and thefts and false witness and blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands, he was making the application there. Well, the negative of that is, okay, where does evil thoughts and murders, they come from a bad heart. Where does kindness and goodness and love and mercy, that comes from a good heart. Why? Because I'm focused on Jesus, and I'm looking at Him, and I'm thinking about Him, and I'm seeking those things that are above, because I'm an up person. I'm a person that's up, and I'm up on this because I want to be the kind of person that God wants me to be. Philippians 4:8 is the answer. Excuse me. This is where it really comes to bear. This is the kind of people that we need to be, seeking the things that are above. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true. Here's your great list. Whatever things are noble. Whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Meditate's chewing the cud. Meditate's thinking about it. And when we think about things that are noble, guess what we're going to be? Noble people. And when we think about things that are just, we're going to do things justly. We're going to think and administer things that are justly. And you know where pure hearts and pure minds come from? Thinking pure things. Keeping our focus on Jesus Christ. And do you know where all these things, when he talks about the things that are lovely, you can see lovely things in everything. Do you know where good reports come from? Because we focus upon Jesus. We think about him. And setting our mind on things above. You know, one of the easiest solutions we have in our life is just take our mind off all of this and put it up there with the Lord. Set our mind on things that are above. That's what Paul is saying to do. If you want to be positive, if you want to express the joy of being a Christian, think on things that are above. Think above the things of this world. And the reason is because of why we need to be upward thinking people. He goes on to explain in our text of Colossians chapter 3, when he says in verse 3 and 4, the reason that I need to be an upward thinking person is because Jesus is coming back one day. I need to think about that. I mean, he's coming back one day. There's some certainties that are, there are two certainties that are true in life. Everybody in this room, everybody, how old you are, doesn't matter who you are, everybody's going to die. Okay? You can write that down. We're going to die. The second thing is that Jesus is coming back one day. And for a lot of people, that's not going to be good news because they have not been looking up. Their life has not been up in Christ. Their life has not been seeking the things that are above. But you see, for us, now not literally because you'll hurt yourself, but we walk around looking up all the time. And we live in an upward manner because the reason is because we know He is coming back. And we're waiting because, you know, the other side of that is that the coming of the Lord is going to come as a thief in the night. We don't know when He's coming. But when He does, we're going to not be surprised because we're going to be looking up at Him and waiting for Him to come back. And what Paul says, you seek those things that are above because when Christ, who is our life, I love that passage, I love that wordology, He's our life. Christ is what I live for. When I get up in the morning, I live for Jesus Christ. When I go to work, I live for Jesus Christ. When I recreate, I live for Jesus Christ. Whatever I do is for Jesus Christ. He's my life. But when He appears, verse 4, I get to appear with Him in glory. Man, that's what it's all about. I have died. My life is hidden with Christ in God. And, you know, it's meshed together. And the reason that I'm seeking those things that are above is because He's coming back one day. I am dead to this world. This world doesn't impress me. I mean, honestly, I'm not talking about the creation of God because if you, you know, spend time looking at the creation of God, what a beautiful world we live in. But if you really, you know, if you watch news, if you want to know why you're sad, turn the news off. Just get rid of the whole thing. I don't care what, you know, come on people. The reason we're so happy, unhappy is because we do it ourselves. We need to get our eyes off of this old world and we need to stop thinking about the things that, because I'm dead to this world. This world is not my home and I'm just a passing through. My life is hidden with Christ in God and we should share openly in Christ's magnificent glory when He comes back because when He comes, it is not going to surprise me because I'm going to be looking for Him anyway. And the fact is that I'm separate from the world. He goes, in verse 5, he goes on to say to do what? Now here's sort of the negative that he goes. In the first few verses, he says, look, this is the positive I want you to raise with Christ. In verse 5, he says, put to death these things. And if you want to be happy and if you want to have peace, get rid of these things out of your life. Put to death. Kill them. In verse 12, what do you do? Therefore is the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on. Seeking the things that are above is that we've got to get rid of these things that are destroying our happiness. We've got to get rid of those things that are keeping our eyes down here. We've got to get rid of those things that are taking my focus off Jesus Christ. Get rid of them. Put my imagery back to the Lord. Look at those things. Put on tender mercy, kindness, humility, and all those kinds of things that are listed there. And then he concludes in verse 17 by saying that whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. You see, that's where it is. We have done that. We have everything that I do. Everything. He says in verse 17, whatever you do in word or deed, whatever it is, you do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Why? Because that's who I'm looking at. And you know, I'm talking to him. That's who I'm looking at. Seeking the things that are above. I'm an up person. And that's what we need to live every day of our lives, and we'll bring our happiness. How do we act as people who are up for the Lord? Well, a couple of passages, and the lesson is yours. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14, we need to grow up. We tell children that. Grow up. I want you to grow up. In Ephesians 4 and verse 14, he says that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, but the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part, everybody does its share, causes growth of the body. I need to grow up. That's the person I need to be. I need to be looking up and growing up. I need to be taking up. Chapter 6 and verse 13. There's an armor I've got to take up because we're fighting against the principalities and the powers and those evil forces that are out there. And what he says is you got to take up the whole armor of God. The armor of God will do no good unless we take it up. You got to put it on. You got to wear it. You got to take it up. You got to be people up. I'm an up person. I'm putting up I'm taking on the armor of God. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 8, I desire that men pray everywhere, lifting up. You don't think I didn't look up every definition of up in the whole Bible? Lifting up holy hands. We've got to be praying people. Because if you're praying people, you're seeking the things that are above. Lifting up. And you know what we're doing this morning? I know that we're gathered together, and what a great, wonderful gathering it is, and we're coming to worship. But you know something else that we do, sort of as a side, but it's really not a side? Is we are considering one another, and we're stirring one another up in love and good works. Isn't it great to have almost a whole building full? Oh, we got a lot of sick folks, and I know that. But I love being together with my brethren, because when I'm together with my brethren, I get stirred up and I feel so much better. You know, like Wednesday night sometimes, you know, the week's kind of rough, middle of the week, whatever. When I come on Wednesday night, I leave. You know, it's a great week because I'm built up. And what we are doing, what the Hebrew writer tells us is that I am to stir you up to love and good works. And that's accomplished by not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. One of the things that we do by gathering together as God's people, we stir one another up. We need to be growing up and taking up and lifting up and stirring up one another. And then Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 1, we need to gird up. And that is the strengthening. That is the idea that when we are serving the Lord, that we've got to be mighty, we've got to live with the power of God, and he says that we are to gird up the loins of our mind. You see, it's still the mind. Gird up the loins of our mind. Be sober. Rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Did you see what he said? Same thing Paul said. The things that are above. He's coming back one day, and man, I wish he'd come back today, don't you? Wouldn't it be great if he just came right now? And the sermon would be over. That's not the reason you wanted him to come, but, you know. But wouldn't it be great if he came right now? Because we're looking up, and we're anxiously thinking up, and we're living up, and everything that is about that. We need to be up people. Jesus tells us on the Sermon on the Mount, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. You see, it's all about up. And it's about where our up is laid. And if you fill your lives up with the world, you will be upset at judgment. If you lay up heavenly treasures, you will be filled up with the blessings of God. Don't be like the rich fool who said, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. And his soul was required that night, and God called him a fool because he didn't lay up for treasures in heaven. Life is about whether you're willing to take up the cross of Jesus Christ. Take up the cross of Jesus Christ and to look up to him and to follow him. when Paul was writing his final letter to Timothy, concluding his life and bringing it to a close, he tells Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8, finally there is laid up, for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me in that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Have you laid up a treasure in heaven? Is that your focus? Is that what is the most important thing in your life? Is Jesus Christ? Is that the most important thing that you live for every day? Jesus came down to earth so we could go up to heaven. Believe that he's the Son of God. Repent of your sins. Confess the name of Jesus Christ. Be baptized in water that you may rise up. Be an up person. And one day, he will come down and take us up to be in heaven with him. Let's stand as we sing.